Hello everyone, it's Jana here, or Jen Twen, and it's the 26th of June today. And following on from my BU last week about the disadvantages of having a family split between East and West Germany, it occurred to me that actually, in some ways, that was also an advantage. For instance, we knew more about East and West Germans, respectively, than other people knew who didn't have such connections. Because, of course, East and West Germans couldn't freely talk to each other, so didn't know very much about each other, but there was some propaganda going on. I don't have any concrete examples about what the West Germans were doing. In fact, seeing films from that period, I always thought that the West Germans were remarkably constrained. They could have had a real dig at East Germans, but didn't seem to take the opportunity as often as I thought they could have done. However, what I do know is that something subtle must have been going on anyway, because when talking to people, West Germans always seem to think that East Germans are poor. Yeah, in relation to West Germans, certainly they were, yeah. Also that they're lazy. Not sure that's true. I think that was more productivity issues in the way the economy was organised. But also, maybe it was just that they didn't know very much about us, because I remember my first year of A-level, my school organised a school trip with a class in Mönchengladbach, which is in West Germany, very close to the Dutch border. And at the end of the trip, I remember some of those teenagers expressing real surprise that that us East Germans were actually the same as them. We're just teenagers. We're just normal people. They couldn't really tell us what they thought we were or why they thought that, but they just seemed to have got that impression somehow from someone. And of course, we all remember films where baddies have a Soviet or sort of Eastern European accent or East German accent. I suppose Dave could help me here. Which Die Hard film was it that Jeremy Irons played a baddie with an Eastern European accent for no other reason than that he was a baddie? Now, in East Germany, this was all a lot less subtle. The message that socialism is good, living in the GDR is good, capitalism is bad, West Germany is bad, was hammered home every opportunity, starting in school, sort of primary age level, age 9, 10. We started having Staatsbürgerkunde, citizenship lessons, and that was something we had to take all the way through school. And this is where we were told the theories of what makes socialism good, capitalism is bad, and why, etc., etc. Also, children were enrolled in youth organisations, a bit like the Scouts, but with a very socialist message. And again, this was something that would go all the way through school and then even through university. I don't know at what age it actually stopped and you were no longer, you were considered too old to have to stop being in one of those young organisations. Also, down at university, if you made it there, I think the theories of Marx and Engels were a compulsory study subject, whatever else you were taking. And then in companies, they were all state-owned anyway, there would always be one person sort of responsible for organising events that sort of brought people together in that sort of line, and made sure that all the workers towed the party line, that sort of thing. Also, public holidays would be celebrated, something like 1st of May, International Workers' Day, International Women's Day, International Children's Day, the Day of the Republic, when GDR was founded. A lot of these days, and perhaps some more besides, would be taken as an excuse to have a big parade through the town centres. Now, a lot of the East German cities were devastated in the war, and when they were rebuilt, it was made sure that there was a nice big square and a nice big wide avenues where people could parade. And what they do is build some sort of seating area for the dignitaries, and the ordinary people had to assemble at one end. We were given placards. I remember one 1st of May demonstration where I was given one. I was still in school. I didn't relish the idea of having to carry that heavy thing around. But at least it meant after the parade was about 10 o'clock in the morning, you were through in about an hour and then you could go home and you have to stay off. Hooray. And of course, having things like that made very good images for the media, the national media, of course, to show us all how happy we were. Also the international media, of course. And when I say media, we had 2 television channels and there was 1 national newspaper and then there were regional ones. So that was very useful. The youth organisations, they had every few years, children were selected from schools from all over the country to come together in one town and just have sort of a day or a weekend of fun with lots of things organised. A bit like the church days that are still happening in Germany. And I think they were even international, may even have had children from other socialist countries coming along as well, in sort of an exchange and things. And then when you were home, you still couldn't escape the whole thing because I think it was every week, either Monday or Thursday, can't remember, at 9:30, definitely 9:30 because the main film finished then, there was a programme called Der Schwarze Kanal, the Black Channel, presented by someone called Eduard Schnitzler. And he indulged in some real West German bashing. And apparently he was so obvious, a lot of people didn't even switch that on anymore because they thought it was a little bit too over the top and a little bit too obvious. However, a lot of people just didn't have the kind of access to West Germany to find out what it was really like over there. Yes, you heard stories and some people had been, and then they came back with stories of how good everything was. It just kind of became urban legend so that some East Germans really thought that the streets in West Germany are literally paved with gold. What it really was that they had very smooth asphalt as opposed to cobblestones, potholes and bits of concrete that we had on ours. But such were sort of rumours and things. But they didn't really know, even though a lot of people in East Germany could receive West German television. So they would have had some idea of what was going on. Not so in Dresden, where I used to live. Dresden's in the valley, and they called us Tal der Ahnungslosen, Valley of the Clueless, because we could not receive West German channels, so we had no idea. And I remember going to my granny's and watching adverts for the first time. Ooh, I was fascinated. Didn't last long, obviously. There wasn't a lot of opportunity to find out what each other was like, and therefore it was very helpful having family, so you could hear about what each other was doing and how each other lived, which was very useful. I remember being at an event where the dignitary was telling us young people in West Germany are so badly off because they can't find jobs. I remember exchanging glances with my cousins who were all a lot older by then and had good jobs they enjoyed. The only downside was you couldn't really say any of it anywhere. And I remember from a very early age, my parents always told me, don't repeat this in school, don't tell anyone, you can't say this to anyone, we can only do this at home. So effectively living almost a double life, because we knew things other people didn't, and we knew things that you couldn't say out loud. Certainly not in anything that could be overheard, tapped, letters could be opened, etc., etc. It all felt a bit, something I'm thinking about, it all felt a bit Harry Potter. But I think that's why the Harry Potter books, the later ones, appealed to me, because it certainly, yes... was a bit like when I was growing up. And I'm running out of time.